The Blitz. KFNC Mont Bellevue, Houston. A Gau Media station. If you're not down with that, we got two words for you.
Are you ready?
Hey, think you could tell us what to do? You think you could tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters.
This is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow, live from Las Vegas, for Deontay Wilder versus Luis Ortiz 2. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, hour number two, and the final hour of the show today. If you want to get in, best way to do it, hit us up on Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at A.J. is the real, at the producer, Nick. And I think Aaron has wandered off, and it's Jose Partida stepping in. You can also get us on the text line. You know the number for that. And we're filling in today for Charlie for another hour. And then Charlie will be on from 1 to 4 from Twin Peaks, followed by the usual suspects from 4 to 7, also at Twin Peaks Kirkwood. So if you want to go out and see those guys, awesome. And if you really want to catch the Blitz and you miss the first one, go out and see those guys, put your headphones on, and just listen to us on the podcast. You can do that. There's nothing wrong with that. So at some point here, we'll have our man Brad Powers, if you're used to tuning in at the usual time and hearing college football talk, college football gambling talk more specifically.
Yeah.
Brad Powers is the guy from pregame.com, so hopefully we'll have him.
He said he's ready now, right?
Did he say that? Because apparently I can't hear anything that's coming from that
You've
end.
Become very old.
No, it's because technically things kind of suck right now. All right, let's go to our man Brad Powers. You can follow him on Twitter, at BradPowers7, pregame.com, lead college football analyst, lead college basketball analyst, all-around good guy, and he's somewhere on the other side of town from where we are right now. What's up, Brad? How you doing, man?
Excellent. How are you guys on this fine Thursday?
We're hanging in there, my man. We're hanging in there. It's getting to be that time of the year in college football. We've got matchups that have some real meaning to them. We had a couple elimination games last week, you know. But and now I think we're down to, in my opinion, we're down to like maybe 8 or 9 teams that have a real shot to win this thing. So it's getting kind of exciting.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, the beauty of college football. I mean, almost every game sort of matters when it comes to regular season. But certainly, when you're getting down to it, that extra eyes on specific games. But I'll be perfectly frank with you guys. If I'm betting on it, I don't care if it's Akron last night. every game matters to the pocketbook if you got to bet on it.
All right, let's get into one of, I'd say probably the marquee matchup this weekend is Ohio State and Penn State. And this is the beginning of a run, and we've seen Ohio State just dominant this year, and I'm of the belief that Ohio State's the most complete team. I think Ohio State is probably the best team in the country right now. I don't know what you think of them, but they go into a real run here where they've got there's no more gimme games for them. It's Penn State, it's Michigan, it's a Big Ten championship, and it's the playoff. Are you expecting to see Ohio State crank it up to 11 here, or do you think that they've got to pace themselves somehow?
Oh, wow. I mean, if they got another gear, I mean, we'll be talking about one of the best teams in the history of college football, because right now, I mean, in every major statistical category, if you're just looking at offense, defense, Ohio State's number one. They're number one in yards per game margin, number one in points per game margin, number one in yards per play margin, number one against the spread margin in the country. I mean, they've been about as dominant as any team I've seen in college football over a significant portion. Now, the meat of their schedule, like you mentioned, is coming up here. But, I mean, they get Chase Young back, Justin Fields at quarterback, 31 touchdowns, one interception. I think in any other year, he'd probably be the Heisman front runner. I don't see very many weaknesses. And even though it's a monster number against Penn State on Saturday, I'm leaning towards the Buckeyes.
Let me ask you another question about that game, because you look at the total and there's 58.5 popping up around there. These are the number one and number seven scoring defenses in the country. They've allowed a total of less than 23 points per game. I feel like, boy, I get that Ohio State's also up there near the top of the offensive metrics, and they're going to get there certainly. they're going to get more than the 13.5 per game that Penn State gives up. But is Penn State going to be able to score enough to get to that big number on a total?
Ooh, that's a good call. And there looks like there's going to be some possible rain in the forecast on Saturday. Yeah, I have to question. Although, I mean, I thought Minnesota defensively, certainly not as good as Ohio State, and certainly Penn State defensively still has good numbers. I thought that game was going to be more of a lower scoring game, and both teams went up and down the field on each other's defenses. So that would be my only caveat there. But right now it looks like it's going to be rain. Looks like it's going to be, you know, and I think the worst type of rain is when it's like 35, 40 degrees outside and you get a steady rain. Yeah, I'm certainly on the under, guys.
So Ohio State is metrically the best defense. I kind of think that if push came to shove, I like Clemson's defense better than anybody's. That they just seem to be a dominant unit. I don't know if they don't have the offense that Ohio State has. At least they haven't shown that offense. Do you think Clemson, I mean, obviously they have to win out because their schedule's been weak, but do you think that they're looking to get margin at this point, or they look at that schedule ahead and say, you know what, we're just going to stay healthy and we're going to be ready for this playoff?
Well, if they haven't been trying to get margin, I mean, they fooled me, because, I mean, this is a team that's been getting margin. And what I find remarkable, I think if you ask anybody on the streets, is, you know, what do you think of Clemson this year? I would think, maybe a little bit disappointing. I think more often than that's what people are going to say, because the game that everybody remembers is the North Carolina game, the game that Clemson nearly lost. But, I mean, I've been preaching this the last couple of weeks. I mean, Clemson, the defending national champs, laying these, you know, big-time numbers with all the premiums you're going to pay on a defending national champ, basically two field goals away from being 10-1 against the number, 10-1 against the spread. That's what Clemson could be if they just made, you know, two more field goals, and one of them being a last-second backdoor against A&M in that game. I mean, right now, my power rings, I got them number two, but the margin between them and Ohio State is very slim at this point. I think Clemson's legit, and I don't think the market is fully reacting to it appropriately.
You know, if there's a better defense than Clemson, it might be Georgia. And I know you've been pretty high on Georgia all year, as has AJ. And where do you put Georgia in your power rankings right now? And what do you think of the game against A&M?
Yeah, I got them four. So behind Ohio State, Clemson, and LSU. So clearly four, especially with Tua out. Now, if Tua was playing for Alabama, Alabama would be up there above Georgia. But, you know, I haven't moved Georgia at all since if you're talking about, where is Georgia at from, you know, the start of your preseason power rankings? I got them almost flat. And, I mean, I thought that, you know, this could be a team that could be certainly in the mix. And they are. And they actually exceeded my expectations last week, because I took Auburn last week against Georgia. And obviously that wasn't a good look for me. In this week's game, it's not a high-value pick for me. You know, the concern I have with A&M is whenever they've had to step up and play somebody, it hasn't been a good look. I mean, they played three top 30 teams, and Texas A&M is 0-3 in those games. Against everybody else, they look like clearly a top 25 team. But I think on the road in Athens, Georgia's well rested up, in my opinion. And obviously they did just play Auburn last week, but I think Georgia's ready to go here. Anything under two touchdowns, I'm going to lean towards the Georgia side.
All right, let's ask you to play the futures man here. So look into your crystal ball. What's the line on Auburn-Alabama now with no Tua?
Ooh, I think I'm going to be a little bit higher in the market on Auburn. So I think it's like close to pick 'em. I'm guessing, though, the market's not going to agree with that. They're going to have Alabama a short favorite in that game, similar to what Georgia was against Auburn. So my line be closer to pick 'em, and if I get a full three and a half, just like I did in the Georgia game, I'd be on the Auburn side on that one.
All right. Looking a little further into the future, Georgia-LSU, assuming they both win out, what's the line on that Georgia-LSU game?
Great question. I think people forget it's in Atlanta. So, I mean, you got to give Georgia probably about a point or so there, because they'll have the crowd advantage and they're going to be staying closer to home. And yeah, they played the last couple years in that building. LSU hasn't. So I think Georgia's actually played three games in that building the last couple years, LSU zero. So it's probably worth a point and a half. If you factor that in, and what's the line going to be? I'm guessing it's going to be like LSU two and a half.
Okay. And now finally looking all the way to the future, Fred and I have been debating this week. Fred is a believer that if, you know, if things fall the right way, LSU beats Georgia, and there's a one-loss Pac-12 team and a one-loss Alabama. Fred likes Alabama to get in. I like the one-loss Pac-12 team to get in. What do you think? Who's more likely to fill that fourth spot, in your opinion? Or Oklahoma, I guess, for that matter.
Yeah, I think, well, number one, I think Oklahoma's out. The committee's telling you they're basically out at this point. So I think it does come down to Alabama or that Pac-12 winner. I'm on the Pac-12 winner. I mean, what's the point, then, of that conference being even a part of this Power Five if that winner with one loss and neither is going to lose since very early in the season? I just don't get it. I mean, why are we playing these games? You got a team that didn't even win their division, playing with their second-string quarterback against, you know, let's say it's Oregon. Oregon be one of the first teams ever, the first team ever, to go 10-0 in conference, have nine conference games, play a nine conference game schedule, and run the table. We've never seen anyone do it. Why would you disrespect an entire time zone like the West Coast in that regard? I think you got to put the Pac-12 team in.
Yeah, we don't have time to go through the whole thing, but I just believe that the committee is going to look at the name on the front of the jerseys. And Oregon would have a better shot of getting in than Utah, but I think they would put in a one-loss Alabama, and it's stupid.
It's frustrating for me because I think Utah is better than Oregon. I think Utah
they are. That's what I'm hearing, like, oh, Oregon's got a better chance. I mean, Utah's, to me, going to be a favorite over Oregon in the game. Like, probably a couple-point favorite.
I think it hurts Utah that not a lot of people are seeing their games. You know, even Oregon gets nationally televised games. Utah has a great coach. They have a great quarterback, a dual-threat guy. They have an excellent defense. I mean, that team is legit. I think that because their name is Utah and because they're not seen as much, they're not getting quite the love they deserve. But I think, you know, I'd probably have them as the fifth-best team in the country right now, behind, you know, the four that they've got in there. And if LSU beats Georgia, it's hard to make an argument that Utah's not the team that deserves that spot, assuming they win out.
Yeah, and it's going to be pretty tight. I mean, right now my power rating with Alabama and a backup quarterback, I still have Alabama about a point better. That's it. I think that surprised some people that, you know, Alabama only a point better than Utah. And I think if Utah is, you know, it wins convincingly, or wins 10 points or so against Oregon, obviously they're only going to get bumped up in that power rating. So they're not that far off. It's not like an overrated Pac-12 champ. And I'll even say this about Oregon. I think both teams are legit. I have both in my top eight of my power rating.
Brad Powers is our guest. And, Brad, let's get to some other games. Kind of curious because I know you were very high on Texas last week and to cover, and they did. They're now getting 5.5 at last glance at Baylor, a Baylor team that has to be a little bit of a gut punch after last week. Are we still on Texas this week?
I am. I'm going right back to the well here.
Good, because I am too.
I think it might be legit that Baylor ran out of gas last week. I mean, just look at the stats of that game. I mean, forget the whole game flow where Baylor obviously had a 90-plus percent chance when they're winning that game by 3 touchdowns-plus. If you didn't give me the score and I just had to look at the box score and I saw that Baylor got outgained by more than 200 yards, Baylor got out first down by 16. Baylor lost the time of possession by more than 22 minutes in that game, I would have said, hey, Oklahoma won by 3 touchdowns-plus. Not the fact that Oklahoma had to kick a field goal late to win by 3. I mean, this is a Baylor team that 6 of their last 8 games have been decided by one possession. They played a bunch of overtime games. I just don't think they have a depth of a Texas or an Oklahoma to withstand it. I'm going to take the Longhorns here, getting the 5.5, and even some spots now it's up to 6.
One of the teams that I'm looking at this weekend, and if you'd asked me this a couple weeks ago, I'd have said, no way do I want to put money on Cal with Devin Monster at quarterback. But I feel like he got a little bit better as the season went on, had the big game against Washington State, and basically won them that game. I think Chase Garbers is going to be out. They say he's uncertain, but to me, with Costello out for Stanford, this feels like I'm almost getting a free roll on Cal here, getting a couple points in that big game. And I just think Cal's the better team. What do you think of that Cal-Stanford matchup? I guess they call it the big game.
I mean, Stanford's owned it, certainly. I mean, they've won 9 straight, and they've covered 7 of those 9 in the series. But you're right, this is probably the worst Stanford team probably since year one of Harbaugh, going back a decade plus at this point. A lot of uncertainty because then both teams are going to have probably a backup quarterback. Now, Davis Mills last week, he threw for a school record for Stanford, 494 yards. That sums up, right? I'm not so sure because Stanford's really gone away from their identity. They only ran the football 11 times last week for 16 yards, and I think that's a big problem for them. They're banged up on the offensive line. If you can tell me I get three and a half, I'm on Cal, but this is going in your way as far as not necessarily line value, but where the money's at. It's certainly on Cal with it coming down to like two and a half at this point.
I want to ask you about a couple Big Ten teams that don't seem like the kind of teams that are going to get much margin, but they're giving big numbers this week. And the first one I'll ask you about is Michigan State on the road at Rutgers. Obviously, we all know Rutgers is horrible. They actually showed a little bit of life against Ohio State. I mean, they put up some points at least. Is Michigan State an offense that we've seen just do nothing all season long suddenly going to find their way and blow up a Rutgers team, or is that number just too big?
Yeah, I wish I had 20 and a half. I mean, I think the market's pretty sharp there, but I can tell you that I do not want a Michigan State ticket at all. I think that program, it certainly seems like the end for Mark D'Antonio. I get it. He's the all-time wins leader in the history of that program. More likely than not, he's going to decide when he wants to leave. But, I mean, it hasn't looked good. Six straight non-covers now for Michigan State, five straight losses. I lean Rutgers, but, again, I'd prefer to have the full 21-point spread there. And right now most places have it at 20.5.
The other one that I was looking at, when the number opened at 12, I think I really liked Iowa over Illinois. Now the number's 15.5. I think I might start to like Illinois at that number. I know it's sort of a small batch to middle between 12 and 15.5. But what do you think happens? Illinois looked way better the last few weeks. I mean, they've won four straight now, and Iowa's not the team that runs and hides from people. What do you think? 15.5, is that too much?
Certainly getting expensive. I bet Iowa. It's one of the bets I made on Sunday at some of the opening books there.
At 12?
And I liked Iowa quite a bit. I think Illinois is overrated. One of the most overrated teams in the country. They're getting outgained on the season by 76 yards per game. That's bottom 20 in the country, and yet they got a winning record. I mean, if you look at yards per play, they're getting out-yarded there by about a half yard. Every time their offense snaps the ball, and the opposing offense snaps the ball, minus a half yard every time that happens. That's not good. How Illinois has done it, I mean, they're number one in the country in turnover margin. And to me, I think turnovers, for the most part, are mostly luck, especially when you got adequate quarterback play. They have that, so it's nothing like they're doing schematic-wise on the offensive side of the ball or defensive side of the ball. They've just been a fortunate team. But you're right, 15.5 is starting to get a little expensive on the Iowa side. I only have a lean now on Iowa after I had a pretty good bet early in the week on them.
All right, let me put your feet to the fire. I'm going to ask you about a team that I know has burned you a couple times, and then I'm going to give you a scenario where you've got to pick a poison, because BYU, I know they've gotten you a few times this year.
They're
now giving 40.5 points on the road against UMass. So the question of the week, Brad, BYU minus 40.5, or do you take the points?
I'll take the points.
Crazy.
I don't want to lay 40. Yeah, I'll take UMass. And to me, obviously, it's, do this with, put the plug on the nose for this one with the stinky dog. But I think what hurts BYU is the start time at noon Eastern. So that means it's 10 a.m. We've seen BYU in this spot earlier this year, playing a very early start time as the Toledo game, a game they lost outright on the road. Obviously, Toledo is much better than UMass, but we're talking an entirely different zip code when it comes to the point spread here. Even though they got Zach Wilson back, their quarterback, last week, they couldn't cover against Idaho State at home. Yeah, I'm certainly leaning UMass, although I kind of like the under more than anything. I don't think UMass is going to have an overly ton of success, offensively in this game. If I'm taking them plus the points, I don't think BYU is going to get enough margin here, so I don't think BYU is going to score. I actually like the under.
One more before we let you go. I'm curious your thoughts on TCU Oklahoma. And Oklahoma, really, the last 3 weeks has not looked like the same football team that they were at the beginning of the year, even though they've won two of those games. 18 sure seems like an awful lot. It's not that TCU is one of those. I think they're pretty much every other Big 12 team that's not Oklahoma. You can just kind of throw them all up in the air, and they're all going to come out 5-5. But what do you think of that number? It seems a bit high to me.
It seems about right for me. I can't make a strong case for either side here. What I have seen with TCU is they haven't been great in the Big 12. Their last 35 games in conference, they've covered 11 of them, 11 out of 35. That's every single Big 12 game the last 4 years. And Lincoln Riley's kind of figured out TCU. I mean, the last 3 years, Oklahoma's covered all three of the games against TCU by 11 points or more, covered them. And again, I go back to the Baylor game last week. I get it. Oklahoma had to rally and were down and had very little chance to win that game at certain portions. But looking at the box score, Oklahoma was dominant in that game. I bet this isn't fair for anybody, but I bet this game back in May, I laid 10 with Oklahoma. So I'm just hoping that bet cashes at the current 18 line. That's about right where I have it. It's power rated.
Hey, I got one more that's another game that actually kind of counts a little bit this year. If you're looking at the who gets to go, who the lamb to slaughter is for Clemson, this Pittsburgh-Virginia Tech game, and I'll be honest, I feel like maybe Pitt is a little bit undervalued in the market. I think that's a pretty good team. They get after the quarterback about as good as anybody. I like them getting points on the road at Virginia Tech. Am I missing something here that Virginia Tech's got that Pitt doesn't?
No, I don't think you're missing too much. Again, this one's right near the number for me, so I'm not playing the game either side. Let me play devil's advocate, though. One thing that Virginia Tech switched up, I mean, quarterback. Hendon Hooker's mobile, and since they went to him, they're 5-1 straight up and against the spread. And the game he missed, I mean, they still almost beat Notre Dame outright as a 17.5-point dog. You know, I don't know how much this is going to play into it because they already honored him a couple games ago, but it is the final home game for Bud Foster, who is right up there. I mean, it's Frank Beamer and Bud Foster are the two guys synonymous with Virginia Tech football. So it's it for him, and it looks like the defense is playing their best football the last couple years. I mean, off that shutoff win against Georgia Tech. But you're right. I actually think both teams are undervalued. I mean, Pitt's covered five straight in the series. They've won and covered four of their last five games. I think both teams are playing their best football this season.
And they've got a good quarterback.
What's that?
They've got a good quarterback.
Yeah, Kenny Pickett's playing well. I want to bet on both teams. So when I want to bet on both, when they play each other, I don't really have a bet. So you could talk me into either side on this one.
I'll probably end up using Pittsburgh in some sort of a tease piece to get them up to 10.5.
Yeah, and I haven't. Pittsburgh hasn't been very high variance. They played a lot of close games. You go through their schedule, and a lot of games going down on the wire for them.
All right, that's Brad Powers, pregame.com. Follow him on Twitter at BradPowers7. He's a terrific Twitter follow. Brad, great stuff as always. Hopefully we'll get a few minutes with you tomorrow, and maybe at some point we can catch up and get a beer while we're out here.
All right. Hey, sounds good. You guys enjoy the fight and enjoy Vegas. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right, sounds good. I have to tell you about Whitmire's. And, guys, if you have not had a chance to get out to the distillery, you need to. You can go take a tour. You can just go out there. They've got a great bar set up now. You can try all their great products, and that includes the new rye bourbon blend, which is available in liquor stores all over the city. It is fantastic. It is their new signature drink, and if you haven't had an opportunity to pick one up yet, go do it. It's fantastic. It's affordable, and it's great because it's Whitmire's. And how about this for a holiday party? Have your holiday party at Whitmire's and do what we did when we were out there. You go through, you try several different barrels, you pick the one you want, they'll bottle it for you. You can take it home right there, and your company can have its own bottle from its own barrel. How cool is that? And we've still got a couple, I think there's a few left of the ones we picked, if you want to go by the distillery and pick them up. It's 16711 Hollister in Houston, and they're at the new ones at Specs and all the other liquor stores, Fiesta. Go and check them out. You can get all their great products there, or just go to the distillery. That's Whitmire's, Houston's first distillery, Houston's best distillery, Whitmire's.com.
G'day, mate. This is Sam Winslow of the Houston Sabercats. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow, live from Las Vegas, for Deontay Wilder versus Luis Ortiz 2. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz, live from the MGM Grand in Las Vegas for Wilder Ortiz 2. And filling in for Charlie today, or basically we just moved the Blitz. I don't know.
Yeah, we're not filling in for anybody.
Filled in for
Charlie's going to. He'll be on next.
Yeah, Charlie's going to have his show from 1 to 4, and I'm pretty sure he's got his Phil Steele segment today, if I'm not mistaken. And that's always one of the better segments of the week. So
I bet the Twin Peaks chicks are all over Charlie right now.
I'm sure they are.
Putting their scenic views right in his line of sight.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
You know those.
Charlie, a ladies' man, Jose.
Definitely.
Yeah. He seems like he's got a little player to him.
Yeah, and then I would bet that Charlie does better with the Twin Peaks girls than does Joel and Barry.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, they all do better than we do. So, so they'll be at Twin Peaks Kirkwood. You can go catch Charlie from 1 to 4. And from 4 to 7 will be the usual suspects. And we'll be back in our usual time spot tomorrow. And my man Josh Jordan is out at Brew Wings in Humble tonight from 7 to 9. So you can go see all of them. And basically
see the whole gang.
Anybody but us, unless you're coming to Vegas, in which case, you know, just
come see us.
Wander around the poker
table.
Fred
gave his room number out earlier.
I did not. I gave the floor out.
Oh, okay.
But as you know, this is a pretty big hotel. But
they'll find you.
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. Because each floor has like 4 long-ass rows of rooms. So you probably have to go through about 800 rooms to find it. So good luck.
That works.
All right, let's do a Zadok Jewelers Gym of the Day. Do you got the little jingle there, Jose? I guess I should have warned
Jose
you.
Jose doesn't know how to do that.
Yeah. Oh!
The Gym of the Day. It's the Gym of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gym of the Day.
Sorry for doubting you, Jose.
Yeah, and it's my fault. I should have warned you because I wasn't really sure where to put the gym of the day because this isn't, you know, usually it's the last segment of the second hour, but the last segment of the second hour today is the last segment of the show, which usually is Hoffman on Hollywood, but then we may just want to talk about the fight of the football game.
Yeah, I didn't even do Hoffman on Hollywood.
Yeah, I didn't figure you did, but I also didn't really want to put gym of the day there, so I decided to do it here and I didn't tell Jose. So that's my fault. Or Jose, as Charlie calls him.
That's racist.
Well, that's what he calls him.
I know.
Which do you racist. Prefer?
Back to Jose now since baseball season's over.
Okay. Because, I mean, you've always been Jose to me. I didn't want to, you know, didn't want to get out of line. I thought, well, have I been mispronouncing his name?
No.
All these years?
You have not.
But that's okay. But since it is Charlie's time slot, I just didn't know if we should call you that as opposed to Jose. So, okay, we're fine. All right. Yeah, Gym of the Day. That's where I was.
There we go.
Okay, this is something that I'm pretty sure you'll have an opinion on.
I sometimes have opinions.
So, some people's wives work, some people's wives don't work. Some relationships, the woman makes more money.
Your wife works, my wife doesn't.
Yeah.
Your wife makes more money than you.
I don't know if she makes more than me, but it's close.
She'll start in January
making more money. She's going to be making more money than me. So... based on this study, I'm supposed to be more stressed out than you.
Why would that be?
Here's what it says. Husband stress increases if wives earn more than 40% of household income, according to new research.
God, I wish that my wife would throw in 40%.
Yeah, I gotta say, who are these people that they're interviewing? I mean, it was a hell of a lot more stressful like the first year she was here and she couldn't work at all.
Yeah.
And I'm having to pay for everything. Now it's awesome. I love it. I don't care. I'm not one of those, oh, man, she's going to make more money than me.
That's crazy.
Hell no. Make as much as you can. You know, and that way when she dumps me, you know, we'll both be able to support
That's
ourselves.
That's right.
But they studied over 6,000 American heterosexual couples.
Oh,
that's a little bigoted.
Yeah, yeah.
But husbands are anxious when they are the sole breadwinner, shouldering all the burden of the household's finances. And it says, this is so stupid. The stress levels decline as the wife's earnings approach 40%, but as the woman's earnings go above that point, the stress levels gradually increase.
So they basically, these guys that they interviewed, 6,000 of them, they want their wives to work. They want their wives to make money. They just don't want them to make so much money that they can't control the household.
No, I want my wife to be super rich.
Dude, I'm all about that life.
That's a good life.
Work as much as you want.
Jose, your girlfriend make good money, Jose?
I don't have a girlfriend, AJ. I think you know that.
You're just floating through life, a single man.
Sure.
You're available.
I am available, yeah.
Are you sexually active?
No, not at this current moment, no.
But he didn't mean like right now. We hope not.
Yeah, you're working right now, but like there's been like in the last 6 months or so.
In the last 6 months, yes.
Okay, all right. Well, what happened to that? Did it just fall apart?
Sort of, yeah.
Or was it like a Tinder thing, like a one-nighter?
It fell apart.
Okay. Was it her fault or your fault?
Probably mine.
You cheated on her?
No.
Or you work too much?
Yeah, I work too much. You need to give me less hours.
Well, listen. Listen. Jose is, he's got two bosses.
Yeah.
I got to tell, which one of us do you like better, Jose? Me or Craig Larson?
Ron Culver.
Who treats you more fairly, me or Craig Larson?
Ron Culver.
Ron Culver treats you more fairly than I do?
I plead the fifth.
Write that down, Fred. I'm gonna, okay.
Yeah, listen.
This will be remembered.
No,
forever,
I'm going to defend Jose here because, whereas you would not get your feelings hurt,
right?
I think the other guys would get their feelings hurt.
All I'm asking for is honesty. That's all I want, Fred.
If you wanted honesty, that's all you had to say.
Oh, you wanted me to be honest? Then it's you.
Okay,
that's what you wanted, right?
That's what I want. Yeah.
No, it's just like, just a little dating tip. It's just like when you're dating somebody, when you're telling them at the time they're the most awesome person you've ever met, just tell him.
That's it.
You're the best boss. And then when you see Craig, you're the best boss. You see Ron, you're the best boss. It's that simple.
So, fair enough.
And you're not lying because your opinion can change, right?
That is true.
You know, it's like, okay, so right now at this moment, which thankfully you're not having sex at this moment because that'd be really awkward.
Well, it'd be kind of interesting. I'll be honest. It'd make the show interesting.
Well, I mean, I don't know that I want those sounds coming out over the air. I kind of picture people watching him through the glass, which is also weird. But in that moment, yeah, you're not doing it. Well, in this moment, AJ's your favorite. But 2 hours from now, that could change.
How often do you and Charlie talk about your sex life?
Not that often, surprisingly. You would think we'd probably talk a lot about that, but no.
Yeah, you guys work together every day. I think you would know. I mean,
doesn't come up often.
Do you ever ask him about his sex life?
All the time.
Don't you think that's an interesting subject, Charlie Polillo's sex life?
No, not really.
Oh, I want to know everything. I want the dirt. I want the details. You should try to do that during your show. Ask him some questions like that.
We got a lot of stuff on the docket today. I don't know if we'll get to it.
More important stuff than that?
Phil Steele, yeah.
Phil Steele. We want to talk about.
We just did two segments with Brad Powers, and we still found time for it.
We want to talk about Lexington Steel, not Phil Steel. All right.
Well, to be honest, I think Jose has a very good feel for what Charlie's show is, and does a great job on it.
All right,
I appreciate that, Fred.
It's very different from what we do, and that's cool. You know, it's a good thing. We don't want everybody to be the same. So yeah, we're okay talking about sex. I'm with you. I'm a little fascinated. When we do that show with Charlie, do you think we're going to be able to get that kind of information?
We are doing a show with Charlie the day after Thanksgiving.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe we should ask him some stuff.
Do you think he'll actually? He's so professional. I just can't see him doing that.
I mean, we could try.
I know.
Maybe he just says, "Listen, I don't like to kiss and tell." That's okay. At least then we'd learn that about Charlie, that he doesn't kiss and tell.
Yeah. I mean, I would like to get to know Charlie better. I just don't know much about him at all, to be honest.
I'm in that same boat.
So, yeah, I know he kind of lives in my neighborhood because I see him wandering around sometimes.
I'm still pretty sure Charlie doesn't like me.
Oh, I don't think he likes either one of us.
So,
I mean, I don't think there's any doubt about that.
But he was willing to work with us that day. So
will be fun, yeah. I think. But yeah, he's professional. We're not. You know,
well, you're certainly not.
Oh, says the guy who burps. And we can't burps on
how many belches have I had today?
You haven't had any, but
none.
It's early, and you.
It's not that early.
You just cranked up your energy drink.
It's not that early, even.
So, but yeah, I mean, I get it. He's one of those guys that he's all about the show and the business and...
And show business.
And he's really good at what he does.
There's no business like show business.
But I also like to get to know people. I'm kind of an extrovert.
And in the words of the great American poet Curtis Jackson...
Again?
This is a different American poet.
Oh, okay.
There's no business like ho business. That's what they say.
Ho business. Okay, so...
So I've given you two poet quotes today. You haven't quoted any poetry. I was trying to be a little upscale today because we're in Charlie's time slot.
Yeah,
so I was like, you know what? I'm going to quote some great American poets.
You ignored me when I quoted My Chemical Romance, so...
I mean...
There's that.
You didn't even tell me who you were quoting, so...
I just assumed you would know.
No one knows who My Chemical Romance is.
That's fair.
Everyone knows Calvin Brodus. Everyone knows Curtis Jackson.
I don't know either one.
Yes, you do.
No, I don't.
They go by stage names of Snoop Dogg. Do you know him?
Oh, okay, I've heard of him.
Do you know 50 Cent?
I've heard of him.
Okay, see, you know. No business like ho business.
Ah.
That's a Curtis Jackson quote.
I didn't know Snoop's real name, to be honest.
Really?
Yeah. I've just always known him as Snoop.
Well, look at you. You learn something new every day, Fred.
I try not.
I'm here to teach the people. Mostly you.
And I've shared a joint in an elevator with Snoop.
Wow.
And I should have known his real name. I guess I knew 50 Cent's real name, now that I think about it.
See? You know more than you think you know.
Yeah.
I'm trying to open your mind to what you really know. I'm trying to unleash your mind.
My mind needs to be leashed. It's fine. Let's put that thing away. All right, we got one segment left. We'll wrap it up when we come back. It's The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
G'day, mate. This is Sam Windsor of the Houston Sabercats. You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow, live from Las Vegas, for Deontay Wilder versus Luis Ortiz 2. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. There's only one segment left, fellas.
Too easy.
Yeah.
This 2 hours a day life, I could get used to this.
Yeah, I can't believe we actually got paid for this.
Ooh, I could get used to this.
And got sent to Vegas to get paid for this.
Yeah.
So Charlie will be up next from 1 to 4 for those of you who missed Charlie.
Charlie's got to be wildly overpaid. I mean,
For
2 hours a day. It's barely work.
Yeah. Man, whatever it is, it's too much. Because this is actually, the last 2 days haven't...
Jose, write that down. Whatever Charlie's salary is, we need to cut it in half. Give that money to me.
Oh.
And you, Fred, can have some, too.
Yeah,
we work 3 hours a day.
Yeah, I think, basically, we should take 33% of his salary.
Yeah.
And split it. That's what I think. So, it's actually been an interesting couple days, because yesterday's show that we recorded was incredibly easy. 2 hours today is incredibly easy. I'm not sure how I'm going to handle a 3-hour show tomorrow, AJ.
Oh, it's going to be very, very difficult.
Yeah, of course we'll have RJ and friends for a big chunk of it. So, last thoughts on tonight's game before we turn it over to Charlie Polillo at Twin Peaks.
I'm going to go with I think it's a less than a field goal game.
Agreed.
I
think it's right around, it's going to be 23-20, somewhere in there, 2017.
It feels like a must-win game for the Texans.
It does.
Which means I think they'll probably lose.
Yeah, and I just have a sneaking suspicion that, and Frank Reich has lost one game to Bill O'Brien, and that was the overtime game where...
He basically gave it away. It should have been a tie.
Yeah, it should have been a tie.
But you play to win the game, apparently.
And I loved what he did there because it did set a tone for that team.
They want to win football games.
It turned their whole season around. So, you know, I kind of feel like I'll full disclosure, my money league, I picked up Jacoby Brissett this week.
Okay.
So that ought to tell you how I feel about this game. I think the Colts are going to, it'll be close. And unless Vinatieri, well, that's the thing. I'd like to say, well, maybe Vinatieri blows it, but Fairbairn could blow it just as easily.
Very well could.
I think we're looking at a 20-17 type
I think
game.
The way for the Texans to win this game is for Deshaun to have an MVP-type game. And we saw last week, if he doesn't have an MVP-type game, you could forget about it. And then you saw when they played the Colts in the playoffs last year. I don't want to make it sound too crazy. Deshaun Watson was horrible in that game.
Yeah.
He was a non-factor, basically. And the Colts controlled that game early, and the final was, I think, what, 21-7?
Yeah.
That game was not even close. I mean, the Colts basically, they ran the ball the entire game. They just had their way. And I worry that unless Deshaun Watson really has a blow-up game, that it's going to be sort of the same thing.
And you'll be able to tell early because I don't know what it is, but when the Texans have a bad game plan, you can tell right away. And they did last week. It's just like, okay, this team's not – they're not attacking the defense the way they should be attacking the defense, and they're not going to score any points.
Yeah.
It was pretty obvious. It was obvious in that playoff game last year.
Yep.
There was nothing – you sat there and watched a quarter and a half, and you're like, okay, that's it. There's no way. And then 2 weeks ago when we're in London, they come out with a great game plan, and Deshaun plays great. And he escapes and makes plays, but they also possess the ball. They ran the ball well. Those are the kind of things they have to do to win because defensively they're not good enough to stop good teams for a full 30 minutes of the 60. So you've got to win time of possession, which I think they can do. But if they come out and they go three and out, three and out, three and out, and then Bill O'Brien's challenging interference, they're not going to win the football game. And I just – until I see him put together a game plan that is going to work against the Colts, I got to think the Colts are going to win. Having said that, I've been wrong about the Texans all year long on both sides. So if you're a Texans fan, you should be doing your happy dance now that I think the Colts are going to win.
Weren't you right about them against the Falcons?
No, I thought the Falcons were going to beat them.
Oh, man.
Yeah, so did you.
I know, but you always hate the Falcons.
No, I haven't been right about a single Texans game this year. Well, I take that back.
The Ravens game.
I thought the Ravens would win and cover, but I wasn't strong on it. But I thought the Texans would cover against the Saints week one.
Okay.
And they did. But other than that, man, I've been way off.
I've been off on them, too. I was right last week.
I thought the Jaguars were going to eat their ass in England.
Oh, that would be weird. I did, too, though.
I'm not saying it would be weird.
I was right on them when they lost to the Panthers, and I was right on them last week. But I've been wrong way more than I've been right. So.
Yeah. And so I should have a better feel for this team. But like I said, after last week, I don't know what they are. And so I do feel like it's going to come down to a field goal. I think the Colts win it. But I also believe that looking at the rest of their schedule, as long as Watson stays healthy, the Texans are going to get a wild card. You know, we went over the whole scenarios, all the stars yesterday. I think they'll be a wild card team, and they'll be one and done. But if they win the division, there's just as good a chance they're going to be one and done. Or best case scenario, they win and then have to go and get their ass kicked at Baltimore or New England again. And
what's to say they can't win at Baltimore or New England?
Last week.
Yeah, that's one time ever, Fred. I mean, the Texans beat elite teams on the road every single year. Oh, no?
No.
How many times have they gone in and just beat New England's ass in Foxborough?
Crickets. When have they – at least they get their regular season game here for a change.
Yeah, that's true.
But, I think that's what we're looking at. So as much as this feels like a must-win, it's a must-win to win the division. I don't think it's a must-win for the playoffs. But you'd like to see them win this game.
Yeah.
I mean, these are supposed to be your peers. These are teams you're supposed to beat. So, especially at home.
Yep.
So I'd like to see it happen.
Hey, good job, Jose.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, not bad, young man. Not bad. So I guess you got to do another 3 hours now with Charlie, huh?
I do, yeah.
Awesome. Well,
what a hard day.
Enjoy it, and you don't have to ask him about his sex life. It's totally fine.
Let's save that for Friday.
All right. Really good job by Jose. Aaron, a little bit of a slow start, recovered. AJ did a great job. Nikki S. did a great job out here in Vegas. That was okay. But tomorrow, I'll be even better. We're going to do it again. We'll be back in our usual time slot. Enjoy Charlie Polillo and the Usual Suspects over the next 6 hours. And until tomorrow, stay sports, you bitches. Forever and for crimes unclean.
HR&P listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.